think there's anything wrong with making commitments. I don't think there's anything wrong with putting something in front of you and trying to get to a certain point. However, realize anytime you do something like that, it is usually a selfish goal. I get tickled at people that as I grew up, the biggest comment, which if you go back in history, the biggest comment today would be you need to commit your life to Christ. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that goal. But that is a selfish goal. It's all about what you do for Christ. You got to remember that, because a lot of people will base that on their salvation, that's how they're saved, because I committed my life to Christ. Well, that's not salvation at all. The issue with salvation is that you have trusted in the fact of what Christ did at the cross. And you trust in that, and that's where your hope is. Not a hope so, but you put your hope in the fact that what Christ did was enough. And so, I just think it's good to recognize some things that are different in what a lot of people believe today that doesn't necessarily make it true, that a lot of people trust in by something they believe as far as their salvation. Don't forget where your salvation comes from. It's the fact of what you put your hope in, what you trust in, and what you count on for your salvation. The fact of my salvation, why I know I'm saved, is I know for a fact that I trust in the fact of what Christ did at the cross. He was faithful to die for me, to forgive me of my sins. He was dead, buried, and He was resurrected. And me counting on that alone is my salvation. Not anything I do, not anything that I take part in, not any commitment that I make, but the fact that I have surrendered to the fact of what He did was enough. And that's the issue. But first year, we always make these commitments. We always, so be careful. There's nothing wrong with any of those goals and doing things, because we got to live here. We got to do things. And there are things that we ought to do within ourselves. One thing for a fact is, as a minister of reconciliation, remember that you have a ministry when you're saved, is to share the ministry of reconciliation. Well, what is the ministry of reconciliation? It's the very fact of what telling people that you no longer have to do all this stuff, but you trust in what Christ did at the cross for your salvation. That's being a minister of reconciliation. To share with people that your sins are forgiven. Not the issue of coming to an altar and praying for Christ to forgive you. He's already done that. Instead, if you want to come to the altar, come to the altar and rejoice in the fact that you trust that He has forgiven you. He doesn't want you to go through all the things you've done and try to remember all your past sins. He wants you to come rejoicing in the fact that we have a ministry of reconciliation, knowing that He has forgiven us of all our sins. A lot of people take a lot of heat for that, and they'll say, well, you've got to ask forgiveness. Let me tell you what, if I do something wrong and I recognize it, or if you bring it to my attention, I don't have any problem saying, forgive me, I'm sorry I did that. But the fact that it comes between me and Christ, it's the fact that I can go to Him and I can say, God, You know I just blew that. And I rejoice in the fact that You've already forgiven me for that. Which one are you going to be more uplifted in? Walking away wondering if He really forgave you, or walking away with the fact of knowing that He has forgiven you? That's the difference. In our salvation, in this ministry that we have, a lot of people look at you like you're crazy, and they'll get madder at you. But the fact of what it does for me, it uplifts me to know that no matter how bad I screw up in my life, or the things that I've done in my past, that He has taken care of that stuff at the cross. And I rejoice in it. But I still need to make commitments in my life to try to be a better person, to recognize that I am part of the body, and everything I do affects the rest of the body. I still need to put things in front of me that are going to make, that are going to move me in a direction to where I grow more perfectly in His Word. But the issue isn't anything about me physically, but it's about me spiritually. We're going to look at two programs, and this may take a couple of weeks, I don't know, and we'll get as far as I can. But there are two programs in your Word. There are clearly at least two programs. One is a prophetic program. That means that something was spoken, and then it became fulfilled. Okay. Another program is a mystery program. The Bible has two programs. One's prophetic and one's mystery. You can divide it simply just with that alone. Okay. So I want to look at that. First of all, let's look at a prophetic program. Okay. Go to Genesis chapter 12 and look at verse 1. Genesis 12:1. In Genesis 12:1, hope everybody's there because I want y'all to see this stuff. In Genesis 12:1, the Word of God says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." What's the issue here? It's the earth, isn't it? It's the issue that he called Abram out. Now, at this point, there's not a prophetic program. At this point, all people are even the same. There's not even an Israel at this point. But we're starting to see a making of a prophetic program. You hear the promises, the things that are going to happen, and where is it going to happen? It's on the earth, right? So the prophetic program, you can see here is some prophecy, some promises that are made, okay? And so God's purpose here is to establish a literal, physical, earthly kingdom, right? Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords is what's going to take place. You go all the way back to Abram, and you see this beginning of this prophecy, these things that God is going to reveal through Scripture. Okay? Now, He's ruling over 12 apostles who rule over 12 tribes when you come all the way through the Scriptures. Okay? So we see here, He tells Abram to get their way, to get away from his family, and He's going to make a what? A nation. Right? That's what He says. He says, "We'll make of thee a great nation." He says He'll bless them. He'll make their name great. They'll be a blessing. He says, and if people bless you, I'll bless them. And if they curse you, I will curse them. And today, all across America, everybody says, you better take care of Israel. You know, and people are worried to death. Let me tell you, that Israel's long and gone. They'll be back another day. Those are just other people with a nationality, okay? And he says, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Recognize those things in this prophetic program. Things that are going to happen, right? Prophecy, people make it a big word. Prophecy is only something that's been promised that's going to come true. And by the way, the only people that prophesy that are right are God. He spoke through the prophets. It's His word. Okay? Now, so we see God's purpose. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. A few pages over. Look in the Old Testament, Matthew chapter 19. I don't know, some people, if they hear that online. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Look what Peter says here. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all." What did these disciples do? They gave everything up to follow Christ, because the promises that were made all the way back to Abram, these earthly promises, okay? And he says, then answered Peter and said to him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" What's Peter looking for? Peter's thinking a kingdom is going to be set up. This nation is going to be great, okay? Look what verse 28 says. And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the," what's the word? "Regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit," boy, "when the Son of Man shall sit," say that five times, "in the throne of His glory." Now your mind's just gone, I know. Just start over, okay? Look, and Jesus said, I know you're saying it right now in your head. And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Where's this at? Is this in heaven? No, this is on earth. These tribes rule over all nations of the earth on the earth. Now, do you know how much of these conversations from Abram all the way up to Acts chapter 9 And then from Hebrews all the way through, you realize how much of your Bible is covered with this? Probably about 80 to 90% of all the Bible deals with an earthly program, a prophetic program, and it's all spoken of and it's all promised. And this is what Peter wants to know. He says, what shall we have then? I've given it all up. And Christ tells them what to look for, right? So we know that's part of the prophetic program. So, in saying that, we know this right here. In the prophetic program, where's it at? It's things that are promised on earth, right? We also know that there is going to be a nation. We know there's going to be a king, right? We know that's part of the prophetic program, right? We haven't heard anything about heaven, have we, in a prophetic program? You don't read prophecy in here about heavenly places. You just don't. Every bit of it deals with those things coming down to earth and a kingdom being set up. Okay? Now let's look at the mystery program. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Once you see the difference now. Ephesians 3, verse 1. We're going to read through verse 7. Now notice the difference. Peter says, what shall we have? I've forsaken everything. Christ tells them, you're going to sit. You're going to judge 12 tribes. You're going to be over the nations. This is going to be a prophetic program where you are ruling these people. Now look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. What tribe would that be? Sorry, they were not part of a tribe. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Now this word dispensation messes everybody up. Dispensation, there are many dispensations in the Word of God. But this issue is how God's dealing with man on the basis of His grace, of what Christ did at the cross. Now look at verse 3. How that by revelation, something that had been revealed, He made known unto everybody. No. It says He made known unto me. You see how personal it was? Did He say anything about making it personal to Peter? James, or He did about the kingdom program, about those things that were prophesied. But when it was given to Paul, it says, by revelation He made known unto me, what? The mystery. It wasn't a bunch of mysteries, but it was the mystery, the situation of what Christ did. And look what he says, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. If you don't read, you're not going to understand it. That's why today, churches all around the world, there's people sitting in pews, they're listening to preachers behind a pulpit, they're listening to them say what they need to do, all the commitments they need to make, all the things that were prophesied that Israel had to do, because people don't read their word. And they miss the mystery that was revealed to Paul that he wrote in a few words by where you can understand. If you don't read it, you can't understand it. You just can't. Now look, he says, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Look at this. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles, by the way, they're not a tribe, remember that. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Now, it was hid from ages past. Where were the ages past? Could that be Abram? When he told Abram what to do? And it followed all the way through and where Christ told Peter what they were going to do? Those things were hidden. Okay? It was made manifest, it said, by the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. A dispensation, a revelation, a mystery that if you don't read, you'll never get it. You won't have an understanding. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Howbeit for this cause, I would be Paul." He doesn't say we. He says, "Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first." If Paul says that in me first, then could Peter, James, John, any of the other disciples got it? If you say yeah, then Paul's a liar. And we need not read his word, right? Because if one part of the Bible is a lie, it's all a lie. So Paul says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. For a pattern," that means something you take after, a pattern. When somebody makes a dress, they use a pattern. When somebody builds a house, they use a pattern, right? It says, "For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." So evidently, this dispensation deals with your life everlasting, doesn't it? It affects every bit of it, right? Whether you have everlasting life or not deals with whether you understand the mystery that had been hidden in ages past, right? And the issue is, if you're trusting in this prophecy program, it was hidden by them too. You can't be saved by that. It will not happen. Or either this is a lie. This is God's purpose to form a spiritual body of believers. By the way, in the prophecy program, guess how many times being a body of believers is brought up? Not. Guess how many times it says the body of Christ in the prophecy program? It doesn't. It's not there. It was a mystery. It was something nobody ever knew about. Why? Because the prophecy program was to Israel, and the mystery program is to us in the way God deals with man today, by trusting in what He did in the cross. You know what it was with Israel? They made commitments. They had to do things. You know what we have to do for our salvation? Trust in what Christ did, that He did it in Himself. So there is a difference. So there is a purpose to form a spiritual body of believers called the body of Christ. Christ, of course, is the head. The body is preferred, perfected. That's why Colossians says that we are complete in Christ. In fact, go to Colossians 2:10. We're going to turn to a few scriptures real quick. Colossians 2:10. If you want to, this is me. What I did in my Bible, what I used to do until I got it, I don't think I have it in the Bible James is using, but when I first started getting this stuff, I think it's even in my New King James, because that's what I was using. I would write prophecy and mystery, prophecy and mystery, prophecy, and that way I could see those distinctions every time. But in Colossians 2:10 it says, "And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power." So that's who we are. We're complete. We are part of the body. Romans 8:29. Go to Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So we're being conformed to the image of God's Son. We're part of the body. Now, we've talked about the prophecy programs: earth, nation, a kingdom. Where's ours? I'm glad you asked. Go to Ephesians 1, look at verse 3. I'll show you a few things. We'll just skip into Ephesians a little bit to some different verses. Now, Paul had the mystery program, right? So those things he talks about deal with mystery, deal with revelation, deal with the dispensation, right? Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, who's writing this letter? Paul did. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings," where at? In heavenly places. Does he say on heaven and in heaven and earth? No. So here's the mystery program.
Okay? It's spiritual. And it's in heaven. Right? That's what it says. Look at Ephesians, same chapter, look at verse 20. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians 2, 6 says, And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers whereat in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So, we know the prophetic program is on earth. We know the mystery program is spiritual. Okay? And this earth, everything you read, also, let's not forget, everything you read in prophecy deals with physicality. But everything you read in the mystery deals with spirituality and heavenly places. Now, I didn't say, I'm just reading you, giving you scriptures. So we know that this mystery program is not on this earth. That when you're saved, what happens? You're ruling and reigning with Him in heavenly places. This body is an earth suit that's being used to be a minister of reconciliation to share the mystery program so that all may be saved. Through Paul, by a pattern. Now, look at the differences in these two programs real quick. The prophetic and the mystery programs. There are clear truths that show the prophetic program in times of full operation. Right? You can see there is proof all through the Word how this prophetic program was in full operation. Prophecy was revealed. It has been fulfilled. Mystery was hidden. You'll see that. The revelation of the mystery cannot appear in your Bible before Acts 9. You will never see the revelation before Acts 9. Until Paul's saved. If Paul was in me first, if he was the me first and he was the pattern, it can't show up, can it? Okay? Because it was a mystery and Christ began revealing it to the Apostle Paul. Prophecy and mystery are two different things. Don't ever put them together. One hidden, the other one will be revealed, right? Prophecy is about the earth. Mystery is about heavenly places. Christ is the King of the prophetic people. Who is He to y'all? We read Colossians 2. He is the what? The head of the body. Two things that are different can't be the same. He is the head of the mystery, the body of Christ. Okay? So, He's the King here. He's the head there. Right? Here's the one thing I noticed. Israel had to continue to live right or they would fall out of their faith, right? And they will never be, they will end up in hell. Okay? Here's the thing I always notice. You can walk away from a king, can't you? Somebody can always, Israel can walk away. They can say, I'm not doing it anymore. What is it? Have you ever noticed in prophecy, through all this stuff, and even in here, it constantly talks about enduring what? Enduring to the end. Enduring to the end. Enduring to the end. If they didn't endure to the end, and they didn't die in their faith, they will not rule and reign on earth. Right? Why? Because He's the King. Now, you can always walk away from the King. Can you walk away from the head? No. When you're saved, you're saved. The cool thing about what Christ did at the cross, trusting in that, no matter what else you do, you can't walk away from the head. But Israel had to continue to do those things or they would be judged. Right? So they can walk away from the King. This is the awesome thing about eternal security, why you can't lose your salvation. When you're saved, when the Holy Spirit saves you, you're in heavenly places. And you can act out whatever you want to do by not committing your life towards being a ministry of reconciliation. By not following Paul's pattern. But if you trust in Christ, let me tell you something. The drunk that absolutely trusts with all his heart what Christ did at the cross was enough to save him will be in heavenly places. Can I tell you something? The person that goes to church
every week is always there and trust in what they did, they will go to hell. They'll die and go to hell. Okay? In a way you think, well, that's not fair. It's more than fair in the fact you can rejoice in the fact there's nothing you have to do to perform because you're not part of an earthly prophetic program. You're part of a mystery program that Christ says, look, they screwed it up. I'm going to take care of this. And He did. Do you see the difference? I mean, this is good stuff. We are one in Him. We are complete in Him. Prophetic people are Israel. Okay? Go with me to Acts chapter 2. Show you a couple things about the prophetic program. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to skip through chapter 2 and several verses. I want you to see some things. Now, Paul hadn't been saved yet, so this has nothing to do with the Apostle Paul. Acts 2, 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. There's no Gentile here being spoken to. The only Gentiles being spoken to is that they had become just like Israel. In fact, if you continue to read Acts chapter 2, you'll see that it talks about who was there. And it says proselytes. That means those who weren't Israel became as Israel and started doing their performances and were saved through Israel. They had to go through Israel to get to Israel's God. It doesn't say Gentiles, it says proselytes. Those that left Egypt, there was a lot from Egypt that left too. They saw those things that happened. They were proselytes, and they had to do those things that Israel had to do. So the way that you could get to the king, okay? Verse 36, look what Peter says. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Jesus, both Lord and Christ. Okay? So Peter's letting them know what they did. So in this prophecy program, have you seen anything that deals with you here? That'd be a no, by the way. So unless you're Israel, okay, you ain't part of it. Matthew 10:5. This is what I want you to get. And this is neat stuff. In 10:5 and 6, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying... Now, who is it? These 12? Must be the disciples. It must be Israel. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way. By the way, these are the red letters that everybody says to follow. Okay? Sorry. Your Bible might as well all be red. Because Christ said it all. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost who? Sheep of the house of Israel. I get to tell you, everybody says, well, he's our shepherd. No, he ain't. He's the head. The shepherd was the Israel, the lost sheep. He wanted these 12 to go to who? Israel. Why just Israel? Because until all of Israel would believe, nobody else they would go to take to the king. Right? That's what's going to happen one day. So we see that. Now, in the mystery program, so far we've seen Israel. Look at the mystery program. Go to Galatians 3:28. Galatians 3:28. What does the Apostle Paul say? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Oh, I'm sorry, I went to another verse. But look, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So, if there's neither male nor female, then you must not be part of the prophetic program Because the prophetic program is physical, and whether you believe it or not, I can tell a difference in men and women. So, under the mystery program, there is no Israel. And take something else. There's no Greek either. You're part of the body. You're one together. And He's the head. So there's neither nor. Okay? Go to Colossians 3:11. In Colossians 3:11, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. This is why when Christ today, if this dispensation is right, when Christ looks at the nation Israel, we think of it, that's not Israel. Not to God. There is no... Now, we may look at it as a continent and as a nation and as a different things, but to God, there's neither... No, He died for all. But look, He says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Okay, so we're a new creature, right? We're not born again. We're a new creature. In other words, what you were stays right there at the door. It doesn't go any further. When you're saved, that's it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Look what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. It doesn't say he's born again. By the way, Israel, they're going to be born again. Those that died in their faith, they will be born again. Us, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes in us immediately. We are a new creature. Who you were stays right where it's at. Everything's new. You're not born again. Everything's new. Look, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything. Oh, this is Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor our uncircumcision, but a new creature. So prophecy rules on earth, mystery in heavenly places. In prophetic times, the Gentiles were blessed by Israel's rise. If they would bless Israel, then they'd be blessed. If they cursed Israel, they'd be cursed. You can see all the battles. So, my hope is that just this morning, we covered very little, but if you can't see a difference in the program, I mean, there's two programs that go on, and this is why it says to rightly divide the Word of God. So I'm going to tell you what, today in churches everywhere, they're telling people that He's our King. They're telling people that they need to do stuff in order for their salvation. They're telling them that they are Israel. They're telling them that the kingdom of heaven is coming. You can see on Facebook today, I'm telling you, you will see where we're waiting for the kingdom. You'll see it everywhere. And it's everything on earth. I'm going to show you next week in the prophetic program. Those guys don't have a clue about anything in the heaven. It's never talked about. It's always about earthly stuff. In Paul's letters, Romans through Philemon, he talks about spiritualness. He talks about a new creature. He talks about there is neither Jew nor Greek, and that He's the head. Okay? There is a difference. If you don't see that, man, Paul says to study, to read, to understand. His letters is the only way you get it. By the way, 2 Peter, Peter tells them to read Paul's letters even. Because why? Peter even knew when Paul was saved, something changed. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God. We don't have to worry about anything we've got to do or perform in anything dealing with our salvation. Does that mean we just don't do anything now? No. Instead, we share this truth. That's what's important. But there is a difference in each program. We'll do the rest next week because I'll never have time to finish it. I got about halfway through. Any comments on anything? Y'all see a difference? I hope so. I mean, these are things I just feel like, I know I've preached on this before, but I don't think it hurts to bring this stuff up over and over again. When you read your words, you understand. When you're in here, these are great things to learn. Read the Old Testament. Read this stuff. But understand, it doesn't deal with your program that you're in. Don't push it. Instead, see the differences so you can be confident in where your salvation lies. You know, when I read the Old Testament now and I'm able to divide it, it just makes me that much more confident in these letters. It makes me rejoice in the fact that, I mean, I would have been the brokest Jew in the world. All my animals would have been dead. I would have had nothing because if I look back at my life, but, and in all fairness, though, can you imagine how loose we are and how free we are? I mean, because can you imagine how much stress and how much stuff these people, how perfect they tried to be and they still failed? What I get tickled at in churches today, it's like they say you're Israel. They always talk about all the things you get, but they never mention all the curses that Israel had. They always have to tell you, now you come to the front and come do this and you'll get all these blessings. But why isn't anybody ever cursed? You know what happens when they have bad luck? You know who they blame? They blame the devil. Why don't they blame God? Because if they're following Israel's program, God cursed them, not the devil. If you're going to take the blessings, take the curses. Okay? Let me tell you something. You're not under that program. You know what? If you drive drunk, you have consequences. You're going to jail. You're going to hit somebody. There are consequences for your actions. Okay? That's not God blessing you, cursing you. That's not the devil getting you. Okay? You know what? If you're born with something wrong with you, with somebody that you know is born with a deformity, that is not a curse. The issue is there's sin in the world, and as the sin continues to grow in everything, there are people who are born with deformities. You can blame it on the sin. They're not cursed. Because the issue today, they don't have to perform in any way to be saved. They trust in what Christ did. Isn't that cool? Can you imagine being born deformed and having to perform? That would have been awful. So we don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Trust in what Christ did on the cross. Because that's the program we're under.